Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Broadcasting from the Shaw Star Market Studios, the home of the Greg Hill Morning Show, weekdays 6 to 10. This is Sports Radio 93.7 WEEI-FM and HD1 Lawrence, Boston.
An Odyssey station.
This hour of the Greg Hill Morning Show brought to you by Cars for Kids, your number one charity for car donations.
Okay, the favorite for the number three overall pick continues to be Alabama's Mac Jones. In fact, several general managers I spoke to over the weekend remain convinced that Jones is going to be the 49ers' pick. However, San Francisco has continued to do homework on North Dakota State's Trey Lance, and it does appear the focus has now narrowed to these two.
Tom Pelissero this morning, NFL Network, and Ken, your lead this morning with regard to Thursday and the draft is that we have absolutely no idea, just like always, what Bill Belichick will do. Absolutely no idea.
I think we do know, though. I think we know how he feels about Mac Jones, which is he doesn't value him. Tommy Curran has been repeatedly spewing how Jones is a second-round talent. Mm. I think that's coming from the Patriots.
That's coming from Bill.
Yeah.
Coming from the Patriots.
And they know, he knows Alabama as well as anybody. So I'm sure he went down there and talked to Saban, and Saban said, look, we have a powerhouse. This guy, he's fine, he's good.
But why
put up great numbers, but he's not a franchise-changing quarterback.
But Ken, how does that benefit the Patriots if they don't like Mac Jones for other teams to know that they don't like Mac Jones?
Well, I don't think they intentionally gave it to Curran, but I think Curran got it from somebody. I think it's good reporting by Curran. He's the only one that has been very vocal on this to say he's not worth it. And somebody else had reported they were not high on Fields. Who I forget who that was. I don't know about that one, but I think he's going to fall to 15. You're hearing this Trey Lance stuff. The Niners are going to take Lance. That's who they moved up to get. He's got the upside. He's got the big boom potential. And Mac Jones will be there at 15, and Bill will pass. And half, according to our poll, half of Patriots fans are going to be pissed when that happens.
That was early polling.
Oh, has it changed?
That was, I'm thinking it may have changed.
Oh, let me check. But I do think that we should have put in the poll, and that's my fault, because if Trey Lance goes 3, that means, in all likelihood, Jimmy G is not going to be traded this year because Trey Lance is a project, mm-hmm. and that team's ready-made to win a Super Bowl. So not only does it mean you don't get Mac Jones, if Trey Lance goes 3, you're very likely out of the Jimmy G sweepstakes at all because there won't be any. He won't be traded. So I think that will be really damaging to the Patriots.
Poll is up because Ken has somehow talked himself into believing that Patriots fans are going to be outraged with Bill Belichick if Mac Jones is available and he doesn't take him.
55% of respondents say that they are fine if Bill passes on Mac Jones, and Bill they trust.
Right.
Right again, Laird. 45% pissed off is the way to phrase that. Almost half of your respondents will be outraged, lose their mind. Lamar Jackson on the board, they passed on him. And then again, another possible franchise QB. I mean, Curran is saying the Patriots don't feel that, but many people do, and they're going to let him slide by. Woo-hoo. Friday is going to be an interesting day.
I just can't believe that they're going to go to training camp, Greg, with Stidham and Cam Newton. I can't believe that.
Get ready to believe it. I think you may end up. Who's the cornerback? J.C. Horn.
Yep.
I think you may end up. That may be your pick. And then you're going to have to, you know, Bill, listen, we talked about it earlier. It's very possible that Bill looks at Cam Newton last season and buys the COVID excuse.
He has to. I mean, he brought him back at the end of the season. Remember the Schefter report that wasn't a report?
He paid him more, by the way. He brought him back and paid him more.
Right.
So Schefter report, yes.
Schefter report at the end of last season, which was that they're done with Cam and Cam's done with them. And everybody, to a man, was like, thank God.
No, not everybody. Not Wiggy.
Okay, sorry. Wiggy Wiggy and Criminal were both mad. But everybody else was happy. And now we're sitting here, and we're 3 days before the draft. And by all signs, this looks to be a draft where they're going to take that the best defensive player at 15 mm-hmm. and stick with Cam and Stiddy.
And Greg, J.C. Horn, Bill takes a defensive back, and you think Pats fans are going to be believing that guy's going to turn out?
I think they are, yes.
After the litany of busts and failures in the defensive backfield that he's taken? Jawan Williams, the latest?
Duke Dawson?
Because yep. I think Bill may be okay with going year to year at the quarterback position.
That just seems so crazy. I you're right. I mean, you seem to be right because that's what he appears to be doing. I just can't envision that for his final 5 years in the NFL where he's trying to get past Shula, trying to create a better legacy for himself, he's just going to go year to year.
He's not an idiot, though, Curtis. I think he looks at this draft and says there's one guy at the position who is possibly going to be a franchise quarterback. One guy. Why would he look at it any different than he has any other year?
You're probably right, and he probably knows that Jimmy Garoppolo will be free next year, and that's his guy anyway. So he's just going to wait another year.
So 2 years, you're just going to wait. I can't believe that. And then what if Jimmy G gets hurt this year? I mean, which happens basically every season.
You can't say that.
It happens every year but one.
But two, when 5-0 his first year there.
When he was here, he got hurt.
Okay, but he had two healthy years in San Francisco.
Holy cow, send him to Canton. And it was five games, not a year. What are you talking about?
Well, that's the whole year he was there. He was healthy.
He played five games.
Okay, but
is Wiggy going to be okay if Bill doesn't go get Justin Fields, but he gets Cam Newton here? Is Wiggy going to be okay with that if he has Cam Newton for another season?
I think he's abandoning Cam. Haven't you felt that from Wiggy the last few weeks?
Maybe. And where is he? Is he calling us before he goes and gets his colonoscopy this morning?
Text him?
He may be busy.
I wished him good luck last night, and he said, thanks, bud. So we're really tight right now.
this is David. Hello, David.
Oh, hey, good morning.
What's up?
If Wiggy was there, he would be loving me. But if Cam Newton's problems are mental, you know, like the yips when you putt or a pitcher that can't throw to first, if his problems are just mental, I mean, he's got the physical attitude, we could be, I mean, I'm not as scared. I'm trying to stay positive, and I'm trying to think his problems are mental. If he solves that, you know, that we could be okay.
Yeah, I mean, so if you believe him, that it was difficult when it came to the terminology because he missed, week and a half there with COVID.
Right. And was it a week and a half where there was no meetings? All the meetings were virtual because of the positive
but
test.
Does he have the physical ability to throw the football?
Yes. His mechanics looked awful last year. It looked like it took
all
of him.
Okay, but that's mechanics.
Right. I don't know. Listen. Bill's smarter than I am. I concede that point. He must see something that I don't. Because if Cam Newton looks anything like the Cam Newton that ended last year when they begin this year, the natives are going to be restless. The In Bill We Trust crowd will implode. Because you're going to have a team that's ready-made for a playoff run, all but missing the number one most important thing, the pilot. And they're going to fall on their face if that's the case. Because Jarrett Stidham, nobody in our listening audience wants him starting any games, except for Mike Giardi. And Cam Newton, so if Cam...
Here comes Jarrett Stidham.
If Cam Newton starts week one and he plays like he ended last year, people are going to lose their ever-loving minds.
Nobody works harder than Cam does.
Am I right, Ken?
He does love Cam Newton.
He does.
Bill Belichick does love Cam Newton. He appears to anyway.
He would have to have a hot start because you remember last year, Greg, the first couple weeks.
He had a hot start.
He had a hot start. There was a moral loss, a moral victory, and he played well. He threw for 350, and you were saying the vibe has changed. And there were Patriots fans that were starting to buy in a little bit. So if they start like 2-0, 3-0 with Cam, maybe people buy the COVID excuse and you get through the year.
Who who's still buying the COVID excuse?
A lot of people do. A lot of people do.
He got it in September.
I do.
I mean, you do?
Yes.
How? How does that work?
Charlie Weiss does.
Do you think Cam Newton's problems last season were more mental or more physical? That's what I want to poll on.
I mean, his physical mistakes were so prominent, and Curtis just repeats it over and over again. He had a couple bad throws, and that's all Curtis focuses on.
What? A couple bad throws what? In a game or the season?
Over the course of the year. Count them on one hand, there were probably like five throws in the dirt.
Yeah, the fumble.
Ken has officially left reality.
And the fumble was a bad moment.
Yeah.
But, I mean, probably more mental.
How about the interception in the fourth quarter against the Cardinals at home? How was that throw? Where he threw it right to the Cardinals cornerback, right in his numbers.
All right. What, Brady had cluckers, too.
How about when Myers was wide open in the end zone and he couldn't get the ball to
him?
That
was a bad look.
Let the record show that Ken just compared Cam's struggles last year to Tom Brady, who had 40 touchdown passes and was a Super Bowl
MVP.
With
a dream team. I mean, it's on a curve.
This is Buzz. Hello, Buzz.
Steep curve.
Yeah, good morning. I openly admit I have no idea what Belichick's going to do.
Nobody does.
However,
you're going to hear 4 days of people. Hey, you're going to hear 4 days of people telling you what Bill Belichick is going to do, and nobody knows what Bill Belichick is going to do.
Except Fresh.
They just signed all these free agents, and they got 9 draft picks. So there's not much roster room, so it doesn't make sense for him to trade down out of the 15th pick.
But he always trades that.
Right.
That's what he does.
Right. It's value.
It's what he does.
Well, if you could get 2 firsts instead of 1, that makes sense. Then you could trade the rest of the picks. I mean, he might do that. He might trade down and still be able to get Mac Jones in the late 20s. Yeah. I think Jones is going to slide a long way.
But if you think Jones is the guy, you take him at 15. You don't risk being able to get him back in the end of the first round.
He doesn't think Jones is the guy.
Right.
He doesn't. But I don't know. Nobody knows what Bill is thinking. Nobody but Bill. All right. We got to get to Ken Laird and what is trending this morning.
The best off-season Patriots coverage can be found here. Now here's what's trending on WEEI.
And the Subaru of New England Love Spring event is here. Complete details, find your authorized Subaru retailer at subaruofnewengland.com. So the draft 3 days away. Belichick got the key to the city of Annapolis over the weekend, so he was... More ceremonies for Bill. Is he working hard, or do you mind that? He goes down there and gets the key.
No, I don't mind if he goes
like 4
down.
4 days out of the draft.
He gets a ceremonial big key. Was it a giant key?
Yeah, it was a giant key.
And right. Linda looked great. It was very
was
nice.
Was it made of some kind of a substance that will not allow droplets to be on it or spread the virus?
I think it wasn't some kind of package. Yeah,
okay. It was a compostable key.
Okay. Did the... town of Stowe give you anything as you departed yesterday?
No, I lived there. Not only did I live there for 24 years with the family, but I grew up there and I got nothing on the way out the door. Wow. Farewell to Stowe. No, never again could a radio show do Stowe 5-0. That's it. 24 long years.
Are you recognized at Neshoba Regional?
No, no recognition there either. Geez. I mean, I think I have a brick or something in the... they did one of those brick fundraisers, and some listener bought one for me. But that's it. That's it. Nothing from Stowe.
And you cried over the weekend. Grown man crying.
Of course I cried. You know how many memories are in that home?
That's a drop.
The kids teaching Brees how to ride a bicycle, how to throw a football, how to throw a three-seamer. What do they call it, Ken? Throw a curve in the driveway. Yeah. All those things.
Have a catch,
Memories. Memories.
But your future is bright. I mean, you're a sports host now.
Of course. I mean, listen, life moves on, but it's a sad moment. When you have a family home and you leave it. And plus, I had to do actual physical labor. I mean, that's a real problem. Is the U-Haul truck. Must have made 5 trips in the U-Haul to the storage unit in Marlboro. A lot of work.
Yeah, plus back and forth to AutoZone.
Yeah, I'm not in great shape. I hurt my back on, the first trip. Wasn't good.
By the way, you get horrible reception inside the AutoZone. Can you stop calling me from in there?
I'm sorry. I apologize. I was changing my oil while I was moving things over the weekend.
A little bit of Patriots reporting from Albert Breer this morning. He reports the Patriots have touched base with teams in the top 10, although he spoke with one team Sunday that was skeptical about how serious they are to trade up. And Mike Reese speculated over the weekend that it would only take a second-round pick to get up from 15 to 8, which I find hard to believe, but who am I to question Mike Reese?
What?
Second-round pick to get to move up?
That seems way too low.
That seems too low. I agree. Red Sox win yesterday, but the Bruins and Celtics lose. I'm not sure what the bigger story in that bunch is. Erod, obviously, he goes to 4-0. nice story there. But the Celtics, I think, disappointed.
Well, that's
blown
the bigger
Charlotte.
That's the bigger story. The Bruins are going to be fine.
I think they'll be fine. They're four points out of the missing the playoffs, though.
They lost 1-0 to a good team.
Yeah, it's a good team.
I'm not worried about the Bruins. The Celtics are on the verge of being very disappointing this season.
And no games tonight. What are you going to do with yourself? No Red Sox, no Bruins, no Celtics.
I know.
Watch old games?
No.
Nomadland.
Maybe I'll watch Nomadland.
Yeah. Just bring a pillow. You'll fall asleep.
I'll tell you something, Curtis. Episode 2 of Mayor of Easttown on HBO is excellent.
Oh, can't wait.
That show is getting really, really good. Highly recommend.
Oh, not as good. This was the soundbite of the weekend, I got to say. The Dodgers-Padres played three very memorable games. Last night, San Diego was down 7-1. They came back with 2 in the 7th, 2 in the 8th, 2 in the 9th, and they win it in extras. That is the series in baseball right now. But you got to love Trevor Bauer talking about Fernando Tatis Jr., who is a true superstar, pimping his home runs. And this is what he says after the series.
I like it. I think that pitchers who have that done to them and react by throwing at people, I think it's pretty soft. If you give up a homer, a guy should celebrate it. It's hard to hit in the big leagues. I'm all for it, and I think it's important that, you know, the game moves in that direction and we stop throwing at people because they celebrated having some success on the field.
I love it.
That is awesome.
Love it.
And finally, some buzz for baseball. I mean, I think really, like non-baseball fans, you knew that the Padres and Dodgers were playing over the weekend. It was just getting that kind of attention. So good for the game.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
And that Greg loves.
I do.
And keeps score about yesterday. And how about yesterday's Red Sox game? Under 3 hours, 2:44, I think.
I know. Slow it down, guys. Jeez.
It's the Greg Hill Morning Show.
Yo.
This is the Greg Hill Show on WEEI.
Sure that what was going to bother me most about this morning was Curtis sitting in Wiggy's seat, but it is he and Stanley Stiz Grimey arguing all morning about whether Nomadland was a good movie or not. It's driving me nuts.
It's not an argument. It's a statement of fact. There is not a single person within our listening audience that liked that movie. They may tell you they liked that movie.
It won Best Picture.
Okay, yeah. So did, like, The Feel of Water or whatever the hell that was.
The Shape of Water, Curtis.
Nobody liked that movie either.
That was a masterpiece.
And we have a Twitter poll which is just always the best place to go. It's never wrong.
Yeah.
Did you like Nomadland? Simple question for simple people. 89% say no, and those 11% are just trying to get me pissed off.
I bet half of them didn't even see it.
No, I think that's the issue. I mean, I didn't, other than the Chicago 7 movie, I think this is probably the first time I had not seen at least two or three of the Best Picture nominees. And that has to be the same with everybody else. The show sucked, by the way. The show was awful.
Awful.
Nothing entertaining. Nothing happened that was... I only gave it an hour and a half or an hour and 45 minutes until Mayor of Easttown was on, but it was just a giant snooze fest.
Awful. It is going to be the lowest rated Oscars by a mile.
It's so gratuitous, too. They gave out their humanitarian award, and they gave it to, like, the motion picture, the old home for motion picture people, like the nursing home for motion picture stars, and it was like the most ridiculous, gratuitous thing that you've ever seen. It was awful.
And I love everybody saying that you have to, that I'm some a-hole because I don't know humanity.
No, they're saying that you're a rube, and that you don't have a heart. We all know that. We've learned that about you.
Okay.
And you don't and you don't appreciate the film. Because you don't know humanity. That's what it is.
Okay. Well, if you want to be banged over the head for 2 hours about how tough life can be for people living out of their car, then watch this movie. Go at it.
Have you ever had to live out of your car?
Then
you probably can't relate to
it. One time I drove to Delaware and it felt like I was living in the car.
Curtis, come on. Really, though, did you not think that it was beautifully shot? Like some of that cinematography, like some of the landscapes?
Well, then it should.
No, really, Greg.
Okay, Stiz. Then it should win Best Cinematography. I'm okay
with that.
That's
just one aspect of it, though, Greg. I'm telling you, Frances McDormand, like, this might be one of the best acting jobs of her career, and she doesn't even do much. You know
what
I mean?
What are you talking about? How hard is it to act like you're living out of your car?
Curtis, it is harder than you think to be on set with cameras and 30 people in front of you and pull off some of the stuff, some of the, you know, expressions and emotions
that
Frances
McDormand
pulled off.
How long has she been acting?
Yeah, a long time.
So, yeah,
at least.
I don't think the cameras are a problem for her still.
Well, it was for the other people in it that you discredited.
You said they're already nomads. They're not even acting.
Yeah, they're not actors, so that gives them even more credit that they, you know, have all these people in front of them and are doing such a great job.
Right, but you're not acting if you're a nomad.
Well, she won. Did she win for what was that movie? Three billboards in wherever
Missouri.
Did she win for that?
Yes,
that's a great movie.
Awesome movie. Phenomenal movie. Excellent.
Fargo. Great film.
Great movie.
Incredible.
She's a great actress, but apparently not in this.
I mean, literally go into a shaggin' wagon. Plug something into, make a hot pot, make some ramen, sit down, and bemoan your life. Like, that's the movie.
I generally trust Curtis on movies and TV shows. I think he's got a good sense of that. But he's definitely, like, fishing for the, this is like MAGA fishing here. This is like hardo fishing.
MAGA? You know? What the hell?
Has nothing
I don't
to
know.
Do
that's
with
not the
politics.
Right term. But it's like he's trying to appeal to the hardo base.
He's
like,
No. He's trying
it's
to
the
find.
The anti-Academy Awards.
He just said there has to be one person listening who enjoyed it, and I've yet to...
Bupkis.
I've yet to see anybody.
It's just not something... We are at a stage now where directors make films to win awards, not for the audience that watches them. They watch it so when they go to Starbucks and get a double chai latte, they can say, ooh, what a wondrous film I made. It has nothing to do with reality, and that movie should have been an hour shorter. If you really care about humanity, don't waste our time in a movie.
How long is it?
It was over 2 hours of people eating
oh,
out
God,
of their vans.
A movie over 2 hours?
Okay, Ken. Go watch it.
You have ADD. You can't sit through movies.
Okay, I'm giving my perspective. If you don't
Did
like
Did you like Parasite, last year's winner?
I don't watch subtitles movies.
I don't either. I hate subtitles.
Oh, that was a great movie.
I didn't even need subtitles. I learned the language.
This is Greg. Greg, good morning.
Morning, guys. How you doing? 1 second. Let me take you off my speaker. I'm out. Guys, I'm over here. Listen, I was listening to your thing about Fauci there. I'm from Quincy originally. I live in Ireland.
Ooh.
And let me tell you.
Wait. What part of Ireland?
County Limerick.
Okay. All right. Go ahead.
Middle of nowhere. Middle of nowhere. I grew up in Quincy, live in the middle of nowhere now, and it's fantastic.
Yeah.
But, you know, you want to talk about having everything ass backwards, if I could say it. We're still locked down here. We can't even go out and get a bite to eat. Last week, they just reduced the restrictions. We can now go 15 miles away from our house, and that's about it. And you can't even, anywhere you go, you get stopped by police asking you where you're going. It's like, full lockdown.
Well, that's what I was going to say, is how do they enforce whether you can go 15 miles or farther away from your home?
Well, anywhere you go, near the main roads and even some of the small rural roads, they'll have checkpoints and they ask you where you're going, what are you doing, and they'll turn you away if they don't like your answer. And, you know, I live in a small town here, and going not even a half a mile to the store, I might get stopped twice, you know, yeah. And it does happen, and it's very annoying. But I also own a pub and restaurant here in my town, and we've been shut down for a year. With no hope in sight. They're saying maybe May or June we can reopen.
Yeah.
But, well, you know, there's no restaurant experience whatsoever.
I believe the EU did say over the weekend that you will be able to visit Europe if you've been vaccinated this summer. So,
yes.
So that is some good news. But you're saying it could be worse. That's what you're saying to Curtis and I, who were talking about Fauci. It could be worse.
They just released that if you're 61 and over, you can now get vaccinated here in Ireland, which is crazy when you think about it. You know, our daily rate for the entire country for infections is roughly between 400 and 600 on average for the past month for the entire country. Now, I know it's all relative. Ireland's the size of New England, for crying out loud, but,
right.
You know, it is all relative. But, like, we're all socially distanced. Everybody's doing what they're supposed to be doing. And, you know, for a restaurant and pub owner, I own two businesses. I paint, and I also own the pub. But, like, it's crazy. The government has no idea what they're doing, and they're relying on basically hearsay from the EU. Mm-hmm. And if you think Fauci has no idea what he's doing, you're going to see with these guys over here. You know, it's crazy. It's all crazy.
Right. Well, thanks for calling. By the way, Nomadland 2 filming in Ireland right now, Curtis. I hope you're ready
for
it.
Don't say anything bad about Francis.
Here's Jay. Hello, Jay.
Hey, what's going on, guys? Enjoying the show this morning.
Thank you.
Hey, I'm really confused. There's two messages that are coming out. One is from Nomadland, which says it sucks. It completely sucks to live out of your car. The other one is coming from this new movement called Van Life, which says that living out of your van is the greatest thing you can do in America right now.
Yes. There are a ton of people that are doing that during the pandemic. So they get a van and they drive around the country.
Down to a...
They don't go down to the river. They're not in a van down by the river, but they are living in these vans and seeing the country because it's a pandemic, Curtis. So I don't know. Maybe you and I just don't get it. We don't get it.
Believe me, you get what's going on. Searching for meaning is a waste of time in Nomadland. They're sitting in their car. They have a really tough life. They're working at rest stops. There's great cinematography of what the barren wasteland of America is. And then they just go right back into her eating ramen. During a break, you can watch Wiggy go through our snack shack and see the same exact thing that you saw in Nomadland.
Well, but then you have people like Stiz Grimy who love the movie because of the cinematography. That to me does not make a best picture.
No, and that to me is also a thespian like Stiz trying to sound very regal.
No, but it wasn't. Yes. It's a great movie, and I was only commenting on one aspect of the movie. Greg, I want you to honestly watch this movie, and I can't wait to hear what you really think about it.
But it doesn't sound great to me.
Yeah, it's not.
Like, it's just her living in her car.
I mean,
does anything happen?
It's
are there simple. Are there monsters?
You know, one day it's windy.
Are there monsters?
I mean, it's not as good as Outer Banks.
Is there a superhero in it? Because
you're a big superhero monster guy, as we've learned.
Is there a murderer? I mean, do I have to solve a murder or anything? I mean,
have you ever heard the saying, you get what you pay for? Yeah. The budget for this movie, $5 million. Overpaid.
7.5 on IMDb. I mean, it can't be that bad.
I am a DB, yes.
Curtis is just upset that he can't appreciate an Oscar-winning film because he's not highbrow enough to understand it.
Curtis, it got 94% on Rotten Tomatoes. Problematic for your argument.
But it's a bigger problem, I think, for the film industry if nobody knows any of the films that are in the Best Picture category. That's the biggest issue.
I have one last question for Stiz on this. If you tuned in an hour late, what would you miss from Nomadland?
I don't know. Maybe not much, but I just
thank
think...
you.
Well, you didn't watch the second hour.
I did. I went to bed. I fell asleep at an hour, about an hour and 10 minutes in. Pudge watched the rest of it.
Well,
he said
I guess you wouldn't appreciate like her struggle and what she's going through.
Oh,
so
God.
is that what you got from it?
What?
As long as you're talking this morning, is that what you got from it? Is that the struggle? You appreciated the struggle of the individual that Frances McDormand was playing.
Greg, it shows a woman that worked at this factory, and at this factory you like lived like the factory had a whole town, right? That every worker lived in this town, and then the factory gets shut down.
Right. Okay.
So it just comments.
Social, it's a social commentary.
Yeah.
Yes. That's why you liked it.
And the acting is just great, and it's beautifully shot.
Yeah. Does this all go back to the fact that WAAF went off the air and then you had to live out of your car?
I was also homeless and lived out of a car, yes. But okay, but still.
Right. This is Jerry. Hello, Jerry.
Good morning, Greg. I just want to offer Curtis some support. Curtis, you're absolutely right. If there is a greater group of slap me on the back, virtue signaling group of people on the planet, I can't think of one, than the people in Hollywood, the actors in Hollywood. Curtis, you're not able. You don't have the intellectual capacity to determine what is a good movie and what is not a good movie. They're going to tell you because they're smarter than us. And they're going to tell us that the 2.5 hours of dribble that you struggle to keep your eyes open to watch is above you. You just don't get it.
He's not smart enough.
Yes. Stiz, I would say... The whole premise of this movie is called The Human Condition. And thousands upon thousands upon thousands of people every year live the human condition. It's part of the deal, just like death. You know, some people are like Curtis, this is not a knock, but some people are born with a spoon in their mouth. Other people, you know, have to eat off the street. And that's just the way it is.
Yeah. I mean...
This is unbelievable. These texts into the show. Curtis can't understand the working class.
Well, that's so true.
This movie is about someone who lives out of her van. It looks awful. I feel sorry for her. I don't want to watch that when I'm trying to be entertained.
You have no sympathy for people who are living out of their vans.
Spoiler alert, neither does anybody else.
Jeez, what did you think about Schindler's List?
Especially, that was a great movie because it was historically accurate.
What did you think about The Shape of Water?
I didn't see that. But I will say that I may not understand this, but I can guarantee you that room full of snobby entertainers at the Oscars last night have no damn clue what it's like to live out of a van. Could you ever envision you have 2,000 of the best entertainers in the world to have something so non-entertaining?
Frances McDormand actually lived out of a van for a year and a half while filming this movie.
Ooh.
Just saying.
While filming this movie.
Are you
on?
Just saying.
I can't even. While filming
that's
this.
That's impressive.
She did. I'm just saying. She did.
Well, she's not even acting. That was just her life. Like, what are we doing here?
How you can say that that's not acting is crazy.
All right, I got to watch it tonight then, now.
Uh-huh. This is Matt. Hello, Matt.
Hey, how are you?
What's going on, Matt?
Not much. I just wanted to make a quick comment on the Oscars last night.
Yes.
I liken the Oscars to when you go on demand and you're searching for a movie and you go in the free movie section and you sort it by critic, and it's all a bunch of artsy fartsy films that you've really never heard of. There's no good actors, and somehow it's got like 99% and the movie kind of stinks. And then you go and you sort it by audience score, and you know, it's a bunch of diehards and The Matrix and John Wicks, and everything's awesome. So it just goes to show you got to listen to just normal people who may not like some film that I guess is about living out of a van, but something that actually is entertaining.
There should be a threshold of box office earnings in order to be eligible for the Best Picture. It solves two things. One, it forces them to listen to the consumer And two, it ensures that more people would be interested in watching the Oscars because it would all be films that received some sort of box office success.
However, the lowest grossing film ever to win Best Picture was a great movie. It was The Hurt Locker, which you didn't like that either?
I think I saw that. I don't remember much about
great
it.
Great movie. But oftentimes it just ends up not enough screens.
Was that with Jake Gyllenhaal?
No. It was with Jeremy Renner.
Oh, okay.
And it's a great movie. But I think you're right. That should be a part of it. Like, because you want most of the people. If you want people to tune in for the Oscars, then it should be about movies that they've actually seen.
With great cinematic
yes,
scenery.
Yes, yes.
Can we just that talk should... about Mayor of Easttown for the last hour?
All right, we got to take a break. If you'd like to be on, the number to call is 617-779-7937, or you can text on the text line, which is 37937.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify has got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odyssey podcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odyssey podcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/odyssey podcast.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Back to the Greg Hill Show on Sports Radio WEEI.
Is off today getting his colonoscopy, and we'll get a full report if you want it on that tomorrow morning. I have no idea whether the fifth and final potential co-host will join us or not. Circumstances beyond our control, so I have no idea what's going to happen with that.
You appear demoralized.
I'm not demoralized. I'm actually excited because I found out that when it comes to Nomadland, I can tune in an hour into the movie and miss nothing. So I think that's good news. I only have to watch an hour of it.
For the first 2 hours of the show, Stiz was like willing to fight anybody who said they didn't like it. And then I said, would you miss anything if you tuned in an hour late? And he said, no.
Yeah.
So obviously it's not a good movie.
Wasn't the best answer.
Yeah. Honest, though. Well done.
Speaking of Wiggy and interesting topics... It looks like Charles Barkley is in a little bit of trouble for a comment that he made about the Georgia Bulldogs.
Yes. So this is anybody that's offended by this, just like lock yourself in Francis's car in Nomadland and go away.
Yeah.
Because Charles Barkley is almost always being some form of humorous, sarcastic, whatever.
Of course.
And he went to Auburn. They're rivals with Georgia.
Right.
I am sure that the Bulldog mascot of Georgia was a easy joke when it came to seeing certain people at tailgates.
Well, there are some who want him fired and some who want him suspended. This is what Sir Charles said over the weekend.
Contavious Caldwell Pope, where do you go to school?
Georgia.
Yes, indeed. Had 29 on the night.
Only school in the world. They named their mascot after the women down there.
So totally uncalled
for. Wait, totally uncalled for the Bulldogs. I didn't even know that, Ernie.
Uncalled for the
Bulldogs.
Not even going to dignify that with a response.
Come on, Ernie.
Not even going to dignify.
All right, so they named the mascot after the women down there. He.
Ernie Johnson, my God. Like, have a little sense of humor, bud. Way to sell your... The only reason anybody watches the TNT show is because of Charles Barkley.
What comment is worse, that or the comment made by Mike Milbury?
Oh, the Milbury comment wasn't even bad either. I mean, I don't think that one's bad, but...
No, I don't
Milbury
think
that... was like... I don't even think he meant anything by that.
Well, you think Charles meant anything by that?
Yeah, I mean, no, obviously.
What are you talking about?
He was making a joke about the Georgia women. I mean, come on, what do you expect, Ken?
Yeah, I get it, but like that was worse than Milbury. Milbury said nothing at all.
No, he said absolutely nothing. And he lost his career.
Right. I mean, Dale even railroaded him after that. But I honestly don't. The Ernie Johnson reaction is the only reason anybody's talking about this, in my opinion.
Yeah. This is Steve. Steve, good morning.
Good morning, everybody.
What's going on?
The purpose of my call today is I want to talk up Kendra. I know Monday wasn't great.
Yeah.
She's got by far the most potential out of all your candidates, and I'll give you two reasons. One, I lived in Jacksonville Beach for a year and a half, and there was the guy in Pompeo Beach who called and said that Kendra is legitimate. That's who she is. Mm-hmm. And I would back that statement up. They have so much energy and they're just fun. They're so much fun. And that's the main reason why I think Kendra's good. The other reason is she's what we call the diamond in the rough, because if she gets to where she can be the greatest, the Greg Hill replacement, right, then other people are going to, they're going to pick her up. She's going to be syndicated across the nation on, you know, those other stations like XM Radio and such. Thanks so much.
Okay. Snaps to Mike in Foxborough.
I mean, I asked this at the start of the show. Do you have a clear favorite out of the four that have been in here?
The four last week?
Yes.
Yes, I have a clear favorite.
I do.
Yeah, but I still believe that the one that we're working on but don't know and can't discuss,
yeah,
I think she could very well be the number one pick when it's all said and done. But right now, out of those four, I do have one favorite.
Ken, you have a favorite.
Of course. Of course. It's Mego. She did fantastic last week.
Yeah.
Great job for 4 hours. It felt like a show. Didn't you come away after the show thinking, wow, that felt seamless? She just blended in perfect.
Yeah. I think there's really good chemistry there.
No, I think Kendra, you could work with her, and over time she'd get up to speed, but it would take a while.
Yeah.
So that's your choice, whether you want to put that work in.
Well, I mean, what about Brittany? I mean, I feel like the second part of the show on Friday.
Holy cow.
Wiggy had her number one, and he was readjusting the big board in show, like especially... After the George Floyd incident, I think
that was
so
bizarre. That remains the strangest part ever on the show. where she was just out of the blue. She said she wants to talk about certain topics that wouldn't normally be discussed. And then she just buried herself in a grave.
She did. I mean, she did dig herself a little bit of a one. Yes.
No astronaut suits.
I mean, I'm curious if she's the only American who hasn't seen the horrible footage of George Floyd being killed by Derek Chauvin.
She had seen it.
Okay. Obviously, she grew up from here.
She had apparently not made a judgment on it.
Right. You don't want to rush to judgment.
No, which was, it was an odd direction.
Why?
She went in an odd direction, but maybe she was caught off guard, I guess. I don't know.
Watching you just back away from the mic as the callers were just destroying her because she had no answer. She was just like, Ryan Dahl said it wasn't a good rush to judgment.
I think she'd be a good co-host for Mutt. Mutt and Brett at night.
No, we can't have them at night because, Ken, until we have a PD, you and I will be getting calls until 2 in the morning.
That's good.
No thanks.
That would be an interesting show, actually. Mutt and Brett.
It'd be tremendous.
We could call it IQ and no IQ.
This is Mike from Florida. What's up, Mike?
Hey, guys. How we doing today? Happy Monday.
Same. What's up?
So, the Charles Barkley comment, I do like the comparison to the Mike Milbury comment because, again, I think that that was absolute ridiculousness to get rid of Mike Milbury over that little comment that he made. But I'm willing to bet that a big chunk of the people that are offended by what Barkley said also have zero problem with LeBron James tweeting, he's next about that police officer.
Yeah.
And that's the problem in this country is people don't even realize when they are being completely and totally hypocritical, basically.
Yes. I think you make a great point. Great point. This texter says that Mego is Mac Jones and Kendra is Trey Lance.
Hmm. Well, then he's Team Kendra.
Yeah.
But I think you're minimizing Mego. I think we have found somebody here who is polished and is going to be a star in her own right. Maybe not here, but somewhere else. I think it's hard to do what she has done very seamlessly. It's hard to find those people. It really is.
When you say polished, what do you mean by polished?
She can handle any subject and not feel out of place or rattled, or she can hang with anything. Hangability was the term Elaine used. She's going to be like a Jackie McMullen type. I truly believe that.
But how much do you know about Mego outside of sports?
Not much.
Not much, but
her Instagram is private. How are people going to DM her and complain about the show like they do with me?
Right. Well,
she could change that instantly, Just.
But, I mean, she's been on weekends for 3-4 months now. She's been on with us several times. I think she's excellent. She's going to be a star in this business. I think you're right, Ken. But this show is a lot to do with what you're willing to talk about. Danielle was fearless.
Yeah.
And Mego's great on all the topics, but I think you need to bring some of who you are away from here.
But we said that all along because you don't know until the person isn't worried about their other job. You don't know how they're going to do in this job.
Yeah, that's true.
Like, people are worried about saying something that they end up not having a job when they're done. You know what I mean?
Well, I'm not asking her to tell us politically where she leans or any of that. I'm just,
Brittany doesn't have to worry about that.
No.
she's not worried about it. Obviously, if you heard the 6 o'clock hour. Oh,
did the man die?
Did the man?
He did.
I don't want to laugh at that. I think that once, if we get that from Mego, I'm not saying we need to know everything about everything. It's whatever she wants to tell, but that is a very important part of whoever gets the job.
All right. Well, I don't know. We may have will we have clarity by the end of the week?
Last Thursday, we talked and you were like, we're ready to go.
Yeah,
and
I then thought we were.
Three
and
different
there
things
was
happened.
There was a wrench thrown into the works.
Unbelievable.
Somehow there was a wrench in the works. All right.
Could you say that our show right now is in nomad land?
Yes. Although some are enjoying the fact that Wiggy is not here today. that he's not talking over everybody today.
He's making a toilet.
I want Wiggy to call before he goes in for his colonoscopy.
Have we heard from Ken at all?
Yeah.
Did you try texting him?
I did not text him yet.
All right. Oh. If you want,
I do love a milkshake.
If you want to... If you want to be on this morning, you got to call 617-779-7937, or you can text on the text line, which is 37937.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.